Hello and welcome to Open Mic. I'm your host today, Joe Lewis. My guest this week is Jeremy Wells. He's the editor of the Carter County Times, a new weekly newspaper based in Carter County, Kentucky. Thanks for being here, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, start me out here. Tell me about the long and winding road that has brought you to the place where you're now in the Carter County news business. Give me sort of a background on who you are before we jump into the Times itself.
Well, I've been working as a professional writer in one capacity or another for about 20 years now. I started my first newspaper job with the Portsmouth Daily Times in Portsmouth, Ohio, in the year 2000. I grew up right across the river in Greenup County. In 2003, 2004, I moved to Austin, Texas, and I helped start up a pan-campus student newspaper there. Worked with them for a while until we had student editors all running, and after that, I left the news business for a while. Worked as a technical writer. I worked for a company called 360 Training, where I did work for the National Dairy Council, Kraft Foods, several other big-name corporate clients. Left there and went to work for Electronic Arts for a while, writing video game overviews, game training, and FAQs. Then left there and did freelance work for Dell and other tech clients in the Austin area. Started doing magazine work again as a freelancer. But what I really missed was journalism. So just shy of my 40th birthday, back in 2015, I came home to Northern Kentucky, went back to work for a newspaper that I'd worked for previously called the Scioto Voice. Worked there until I came to Carter County. My goal had always been to get back into Kentucky whenever I came home, but there were more jobs in Ohio. And so I worked for the Ironton Tribune for a while as well. And then the opportunity came to move into Grayson, Kentucky, Olive Hill, Kentucky, for the Grayson Journal Enquirer and Olive Hill Times. And I worked with them for about 3 years until CNHI decided to close those two newspapers earlier this year. After that, sitting around unemployed, and my fiance asked me, what would you need to do to start a newspaper? And I told her, and over the course of a weekend, she set up a business plan, created a website, started a Facebook page, and a week later we put out our first newspaper, we just put out issue 12 this week. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And, newspapers have always been near and dear to my heart. Northern Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky has always been near and dear to my heart. It's where I'm from. It's where I wanted to be. And I just felt like it was important for Carter County to have a newspaper. And so that's where we're at.
For our listeners out there, I'll mention here that Jeremy and I have both worked in that same role for the Grayson Journal Enquirer and Olive Hill Times. And so we've gotten to see firsthand what community journalism is like there in Carter County and the important role it plays. And Jeremy, if you could speak on that a little bit more, just talk about your experience with local community journalism and why did you feel like after the Times and the Journal Enquirer shut down that it was so vital that Carter County have a weekly newspaper again?
Well, I mean, I think it's important for people to know what's going on in their communities. I think it's important for parents who can't make it to a school board meeting to know what the school board is voting on so that they know what's impacting their child. I think it's important for people that live in the city of Grayson and people that live in the city of Olive Hill to know what city council and the mayors are doing with their tax dollars. I think it's important for everyone in Carter County to know what fiscal court is doing with their tax dollars. You know, they just added that new payroll tax. And I think if you're paying a tax, you deserve to know where that's going. And it's not that the meetings aren't open to anyone that wants to come. All the meetings are open, and in fact, during the COVID-19 pandemic, it's been even easier because they've been live streaming a lot of them on Facebook. So even if you can't make it in real time, you can go back and watch the video after the fact. So there are ways for the community to be involved and know what's going on if they know what to look for. But a lot of people have relied on the newspapers for that for a long time, and especially our more elderly residents. And, you know, as a rural county, demographically, we skew toward an older demographic. A lot of those folks don't have experience with using technology to tune into those kind of things, and they don't want to learn. You know, you're 80, 85 years old, you've been getting the newspaper your whole life. You're not interested in you know, getting online. And then there's the fact that as a rural county with limited internet access in some areas, there's some folks who can't get online and follow it that way, you know, or can't or don't have the time to drive in and be part of the live meeting, you know, when they do open up, which has been more rare during this COVID thing. But, you know, for those folks, being able to pick up the newspaper when they're in town, or even get on our website, and, you know, when you're in town and with your mobile device and have access, being able to jump on and open several articles and then read them at their leisure when they get home, however they choose to consume that information, I just think it's important for people to know what's going on in their communities. And that's the role that newspapers have traditionally played, and I don't think that we're quite done playing that role yet. Even with the technology.
Let's expound on that a little bit. You talk about the role that they play, and I agree with you, but especially in the current tenor of our American climate, that role has changed or evolved, or at least people's attitudes toward those things have evolved. What challenges have you encountered in trying to fill that vital public service for the community as people's attitudes and the sort of social consciousness around the media as a whole has changed?
Well, I mean, you know, you always ran into folks who didn't want to talk, who didn't want their face or their name in the newspaper. With a lot of rhetoric from different politicians about the media being biased, it's sometimes harder to get people to talk to you. During the recent Black Lives Matter rallies, I've walked up to several people, you know, on both sides and asked them, you know, their name, where they're from, trying to figure out, you know, what they were doing there. And I've had folks give me their names and tell me who they were and that they were from Grayson or that they were from Carter County and that that's why, you know, they were there either to support Black Lives Matter or to make sure that there was no rioting and damage. And then I've had people that have just straight up said, we're from around here. And that's all they would say to me. They wouldn't say anything more. I don't know what the answer is to that, to getting people to trust you and talk to you, other than what I try to do, which is to be as objective as possible. I just present the facts and the background information, which is what I think that people sometimes miss if they try to come into a city council meeting, cold. They decide they just want to see what the city's doing, and they come in and they watch a meeting, and they have no idea what's going on. They don't have any context. Me, having been in the community for 3 years now, I know the background, and so I can provide that. And that's what I think journalists can provide that makes them still valuable to the community. But as far as getting around those challenges, I think all you can do is build a reputation, and that's what I'm trying to do. There are some folks that know my work from the time with the Journal Times, the Olive Hill Times and the Grayson Journal Inquirer. You'll hear me say Journal Times, that's the two of those together. And so, you know, those folks have been easier to work with. Other folks, it's been starting from scratch. But I find that not having the burden of the old newspaper, which some people had biases against, has been helpful there in some ways, too.
Let's shift then. So we've talked about sort of the community impact and the people that you serve. What has been the reception that you've gotten from the, you know, key stakeholders, you know, local government officials, businesses, community organizations, things like that? You know, I got the sense, still being connected to that community, that there was a lot of, you know, sadness and a lot of disappointment when the Journal-Times sort of shuttered its doors, and how have they responded to having an in-print publication again in Carter County?
It's been very positive. I mean, they want that. You know, there's a sense of pride associated with that, and I think that folks that have, you know, that are in these places, in these positions, and in groups like the Park Board, tourism, the Grayson Gallery, and even, you know, city council and mayors, and the judge executive's office has been fantastic about working with us and getting this information. They recognize the value of the newspaper in getting that information out to the community. And we've had a lot of positive feedback and response from those folks, you know, to our decision to bring a newspaper back. You know, it's kind of one of the things I've heard a lot is that for the longest time, Carter County was one of the only counties in the state without a library, you know, and then they got a library, and that was, you know, a source of pride, and they did not want to be also the only county without a local newspaper. And so that's been a big part of it more than anything, is just that idea that we don't want to be without this thing. And I think that people are really happy that we're there to fill that niche. Like I said, especially the Olive Hill Chamber of Commerce, Grayson Chamber of Commerce, the Judge Executive's Office, they've all been fantastic about getting information to us. And the Extension Agency, which is somebody that we're really trying to work closely with. One of the things that we weren't doing with the Journal-Times, and that I've seen dropping from a lot of rural newspapers, is the agriculture reports. And, you know, Carter County is a rural county. Even if you don't make all your money in agriculture of some sort, or animal husbandry, there's a lot of folks that get supplemental income that's really important to their families from corn, from cattle, from timber. And so we really want to look at all the sources of information that folks need. And so we're trying to look at those kind of things that were lacking in the old newspaper, and that the community has told us is important to them, and bring those to them. And we've gotten fantastic support from the Extension Agency and providing us that kind of information and guidance. And so this week, for the first time, we had cattle, the state cattle market reports and the grain reports in our print edition.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back right after this.
This is WMKY News Director Leanne Akers. Starting Tuesday, September 8th, we will return to our regular news broadcasting schedule during Morning Edition. Extended newscasts will air at 6:52, 7:52, and 8:52 on weekday mornings. We hope to bring you more local coverage written to inform and educate our listeners. Thanks for your support and for listening to Morehead State Public Radio, 90.3 FM.
All right, and we're back here on Morehead State Public Radio. This is Open Mic. Again, today I'm your host, Joe Lewis, and I'm joined by Jeremy Wells, the editor of the Carter County Times. Jeremy, I want to jump right back in. We've talked a little bit about, you know, kind of how you've settled in and sort of the things that helped bring the newspaper to be and the influence that it's already had. Where is your main office located? And I'm sort of leading you with this question, obviously, but you're in Olive Hill, is that right?
We're in Olive Hill. We have a post office box in Olive Hill for our mail. And we have partnered with the Carter County Public Library to sublet some space. Met with the library board, and they agreed to allow us that space. So we actually, our physical office is located in the library. Well, right now, of course, the library is closed due to COVID-19. But once the physical location is back open, we will be in there a couple days a week, you know, as office time for folks who wanted to stop in. Because that's one of the things that I missed when they closed the office at the Grayson Journal Inquirer location, was that we missed a lot of walk-in stories. Folks that maybe just want to walk in and talk to you about something that, you know, they don't email, they don't want to call, they want to sit down and chat for a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to being able to spend a couple days a week up there in Olive Hill on the hill and be able to get those stories that want to walk into me, as well as having a place for people to drop stuff off. So we're really looking forward to the COVID restrictions lifting so we can get back to that.
Well, as someone who began his time at the Journal-Times working out of Olive Hill, I can tell you personally that to them, it was a real blow to lose that office there when the Times originally shuttered its offices. And, you know, they took a lot of pride in their newspaper. And I'm, you know, I personally am thrilled to, you know, see that they have a walk-in newspaper office there again. And they'll hopefully be able to take advantage of that when, you know, we emerge on the other side of this pandemic, whenever that is. But I just thought it was interesting that was the choice you made. And I think if they haven't already, the citizens and the people of Olive Hill are going to be really appreciative of that.
We've had tremendous support from the Olive Hill community. And I don't mean that to say that Grayson hasn't been supportive. But no, the Olive Hill folks have been great. And, you know, I really enjoy that community. They're just wonderful people. Lisa Messer Connolly with the Olive Hill Chamber of Commerce she has been such a great source. Chimella Hargett there with the city. They're all wonderful sources. Bobby Hall with the police department. They're all so willing to work with me. And like I said, I don't mean that to say that Grayson isn't willing to work with me, but there is a special place in my heart for the folks of Olive Hill. I have some roots there. If you go back several generations, which I didn't find out until after I came here and went to work and was talking to one of my distant cousins, that my great-grandmother's family actually came from Olive Hill originally before they moved to Old Town. So maybe that's partly why I have a little bit of a soft spot for Olive Hill.
You know, for our audience out there, it may seem like that producing a newspaper is very easy. We come in, we sit behind a desk, we type a story, we push it out. Having worked in that industry, and I'm sure Jeremy will be able to attest to this here in a moment, that is absolutely not the case, and starting a newspaper from scratch even more so. So with that said, Jeremy, I want to ask you, what have been some of the biggest obstacles you've had to overcome to get this off the ground, and what are the hurdles that you encountered that you didn't really expect or weren't prepared for that you've kind of had to deal with on the fly?
Distribution has been one of the biggest things. I really didn't appreciate, you know, in my past work, I've worked as a writer and I've worked as an editor. I've even done the layout. So I've done every end of the production end of, you know, as far as picking stories, deciding on what stories are going to go in the newspaper, interviewing, writing those stories, and even putting those stories on the page. Although thankfully Nicole does most of the layout, all of the layout. Who am I kidding? She does all the layout. She's fantastic. That I knew I could do. What I didn't appreciate before this was what a corporate structure behind you does. From the printing of the paper to the picking up of the paper to the distribution of the paper and ad sales. I really, really did not appreciate what the girls who sell ads and the guys who sell ads bring to the newspaper. Ad sales have probably been one of my biggest hurdles and biggest stumbling blocks because I'm just not a salesman. And trying to do everything else on top of, you know, the production end, it's tiring. I was up until 6 o'clock the other morning writing stories because we also have a toddler in the home. And so I often write when he's in bed. So I was up till 6 in the morning, Tuesday morning, writing. I caught a couple hours of sleep. We put the paper out to the printer Tuesday afternoon. I drove to Maysville at about 7 o'clock Tuesday night, picked up the paper, came back. We were sorting papers and putting them in bins for the post office until nearly midnight. And then I was up at 5 a.m. this morning to run to the Olive Hill Post Office and the Grayson Post Office to drop those off so that everybody got their paper today, on the day that it's dated. And then dropping all those papers off at the different retail outlets that we have, you know, Ralph's, Save-A-Lot, the Hitchens Post, Andy's Market and Bay's General Store out in Willard, those kind of places. I didn't appreciate everything that went into that. I mean, I knew that all that stuff had to be done, and I knew that we had folks that did it. You know, I've worked with all of them. You know, I've been in this business on and off, like I said, for 20 years. I didn't appreciate, though, just how much goes into all of that. And trying to do it all myself, it's exhausting. But you know, it's, this is something that I think is important, and it's something that I love. You know, I love Appalachia. I love Eastern Kentucky, and this is where I want to stay. You know, my other option, if I didn't start a newspaper, was to go back on the road doing technical writing. I want to be here, and I want to give these communities the newspaper they deserve.
What do you think has been the most satisfying part of the job so far? You know, you're 12 weeks in, so you've gotten some traction under you now. What do you feel like has been your biggest win or the most satisfying part of doing all this so far?
Nicole and I have gotten a couple cards. We've gotten emails, you know, saying thank you for bringing a newspaper back. We've gotten messages on Facebook saying thank you for doing this. But the thing that has touched me the most is we've had a couple of folks who have taken the time to write thank you cards and drop them in the mail for us. You know, tell us how much they appreciate having a physical paper again and having someplace to go for the news. And, you know, that's knowing that people appreciate what it is we're doing, that's the most rewarding. That's all I can say about that. It's knowing that people appreciate what it is that we're doing and the work that goes into it. That makes it worth staying up to 6 in the morning one day and getting up at 5 in the morning the next.
All right, well, we're just about out of time. Where can people find the Carter County Times?
In Grayson, you can find it at Ralph's Food Fair, Hitchens Food Mart, a.k.a. the Hitchens Post in Hitchens. It's at Bay's General Store and Andy's Market and Hardware in Willard. In Olive Hill, it's at the Save-A-Lot, the Jean Marie's Boutique, Trinity Sisters Design. We're also available at the Globe Farm Store and up at the Upper Tiger Mini Mart. So those are our current retail locations. We're working on getting into the Dollar General stores right now. We've gotten the permission to put our stuff there, and we're just working out the details of getting into each store with each of the individual managers. So really soon you'll see us there.
And you have an online presence?
We do have an online presence. It's CarterCountyTimes.com. Real easy to remember. We have... you know, it's a service that we provide to our subscribers with a login, but there's also a lot of content that never goes behind the paywall. We never put public announcements behind the paywall. We never put obituaries behind the paywall. And very important stories that we think it's imperative for the community to read, we either don't put them behind the paywall or we will remove them from behind the paywall if we get folks telling us that they want to read it and can't. It's more important to us if folks get that news. However, we want the subscriptions, don't get me wrong, but we remove some things from behind the paywall when we think it's very important to the community to get a hold of it.
And a subscription is going to set me back?
In county, it's $26 a year plus tax. It's 50 cents an issue. It comes to $27.56. If you want to subscribe, you can drop a check for $27.56 in the mailbox to P.O. Box 803, Olive Hill, Kentucky, 41164. Carter County Times. And if you do decide to do that, add your email address in the memo space. We'll get you signed up for the online access and send you a password. Or you can sign up online at CarterCountyTimes.com using your credit card.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show today. I want to thank our guest again, Jeremy Wells, for being with us. We will be back with you next week. And have a good day. Take care, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.